I invite you to sit down. Be seated. If you are looking or following the scripture in your Bible, as Richard was reading the Old Testament passage, you'll realize that we had to jump forward, and there was a lot of scripture there. Richard looked at me when he received it, like, you know, maybe I was in his doghouse, so I gave him too much to read. But there's a lot to that. That story is a long one that sometimes we skip over because of time and other restraints. But the phrase David and Goliath has become a penultimate, a quintessential definition of the battle of a little guy overcoming a giant. In the news, you'll hear of a major corporation that is being sued by an individual, and they'll say it's a real David and Goliath story. So this part of our culture, this idea that a small person or small entity overcoming a great large one, is it the David and Goliath story. Now, sadly, some people will also hear that and they'll reflect back on the fact that it was the sling, this new weapon technology, is how he defeated Goliath. Remember, he said, David took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the shepherd's bag in the pouch. And his sling was in his hand. So he's preparing himself, and obviously he knows what he's doing. He's about choosing the right stones. He's experienced. And he says, I used to keep sheep for my father, and whenever a lion or bear came, I went after it and struck it down. I would catch it in the jaw and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears. So not only was he using this rather unorthodox weapon, but he was quite skilled with it, it's obvious. And it's easy to take this story of David and Goliath and forget and get distracted and think, it was the sling. He had the secret weapon, because there was this huge, huge giant of a man, Goliath. And he was wearing armor and sheaves and spears and sword or a shield bearer. I mean, he was indomitable. And David, with this secret weapon, defeats him. And there's a danger of thinking that this weapon is what the story is about. We have a temptation to do that. Nations, peoples, we have always kind of hoped for an ultimate weapon. And that has been a journey. In World War II alone, think about the journey of weaponry that changed over the course of just several years. The submarine that the Germans used was a weapon that was quite effective until countermeasures were figured out. And then other things happened. The radar in Britain. Britain didn't have enough airplanes to fight off the German Army Air Force. One of those, you know, the ones that flew. They didn't have enough airplanes to fight off the German bombers that were going to come bomb England. There just weren't enough British airplanes. But they had radar, so they could stop each flight that came in with the same set of fighters and just keep positioning them for the Battle of Britain. The Germans weren't aware of that. They thought they must have a lot of fighters, because no matter where we come up, the fighters are there waiting for us. And so that defeat was a super weapon called radar. And then, of course, after radar, there was the jet airplane was just coming into use. And the German Air Force, if it had brought that Air Force jet into use sooner, it might have changed the course of the war. But it didn't. And so the technology didn't quite work. And the ultimate technology ends that World War II, the bomb. Now you have a weapon of weapons. Now you have the ultimate weapon. Now you are ultimately the most powerful. Until, of course, your enemies have the bomb too. And that's where we came. Until we finally were able to realize that weapons are not the answer to finding peace, to finding centeredness, to finding that place where we want to get, about happiness. The weapons are not going to take us there. In fact, they've taken us to a place where we could destroy everything. the focus of David and Goliath is missed because he says, you have come to me with sword and spear and javelin. He tells Goliath, but I have come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will be delivered, will deliver you into my hand. This is not about a little guy and a big guy. This is not about the weapon, the super weapon that he has, the secret weapon that will defeat the giant Goliath. This is about David, who is faithful to God of Israel. This is much more than that penultimate definition that we put on it. It's not about the big guy and the little guy. It's about the faithful one and Goliath, whose gods God overcame. I have to pause because in reading the story, I don't know if you grinned as I did, but they prepare David to go out and fight Goliath, and Saul puts him in his armor. He puts him in all the armor, and poor David stands there, and he says, he can't even walk. This little guy, and it's a bit of that humor that sometimes we pass over, but we all would have had to have grinned, seeing him so small that he couldn't even walk around in the armor of Saul, and yet going out to be the champion. God Bless the USA, the anthem. I love this melody, I love the song, and I'm proud to be an American. The symbols of war are sometimes troubling, and we need to be aware of those and think about how we are and who we are as the children of Christ, the Prince of Peace. And we have to remember as well that there are other nations whose skies are as blue as ours. And we need to remember and celebrate that those who follow God are our brothers and sisters regardless of where they are. We need to think about David, and we need to think about what he was doing, not for the nation Israel. You see, David didn't defeat Goliath to save Israel. David defeated Goliath for God. It is for God and with God that David was empowered. This is our Independence Sunday. And I had some pictures I was actually going to have probably put them on the screen, but we didn't have time, and there were too many of them. But if you were trying to get to sleep early last night, you know that we are an independent lot with all the firecrackers going off all over town that are all illegal. We understand that there's some fierce independence and celebrating going on. And I'm not sure that's all bad, and I don't want to criticize. I worry sometimes about people that might get hurt or what have you, but we are fiercely independent in this nation, and it might be a temptation. Think about, there was these two people, this man and his wife, and they were given a place to live, rent-free. They were given all the food they could possibly want, no cost. They were given all the health, perfect health. And some of us that got up this morning are thinking about that. And beyond that, they didn't even have to worry about what they were going to wear today because they were able to walk around naked. Their names were Adam and Eve, in case you haven't gotten there with me yet. And they had all of that. They had the paradise that all of us would dream of. But God also gave them independence. They could decide for themselves. They could obey God, or they could disobey God. And out of their independence, they made that one decision and exited the garden. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of who and what we are about. And that independence remains with us and remains a gift. It's a great thing, independence. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's one that we should celebrate. We should recognize that on this Independence Day, what we are celebrating as the nation. I am not enough of a social scientist. I didn't do very well in social studies, I think. And I don't have all of the different documents and all of the other things memorized. I believe it was the Declaration of Independence that we're celebrating this holiday. And intriguingly, I'm told now that it was not actually signed on the 4th. Is that what historians are saying now? That they declared it for the 4th and signed it? And I don't get all the nuances, but nonetheless, there was this declaration. And they declared us independent of England, independent of King George III, independent to be a nation of our own, with our own self-determination, a nation under God. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It's a startling phrase. It's an amazing phrase. It's a phrase that fills us with amazement to understand what and who they were about. And what amazes me even more in this day and age is that all of the members of the Continental Congress voted together, unanimous decision. They decided if we're going to do this, we have to all be on board. I wonder if we could ever have a unanimous decision out of Congress today. It doesn't seem possible, does it? But here was one nation, independent, self-determined, but one nation under God. One nation under God. What a vision, what a dream. Think about David. He obeys God. Goliath defies God. Think about this paradigm of David and Goliath. And think about what that gift means to us. Each of us individually, able to be the ones who obey God and can do something incredibly amazing. Even be a part of a nation under God, a nation of all people with liberty and justice for all. May God bless this nation. Amen.